Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people who insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. I promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them.
Oh, Jimbo Fisher going after Nick Saban after Nick Saban made comments on Wednesday saying that Texas A&M bought every player for its what is a vaunted 2022 recruiting class. College sports are in the wild, wild west right now with NIL and the transfer portal, and it is playing out before our very eyes at the highest level of all college sports, the SEC. Mark Schlabaugh covers college football, covers the SEC in particular very closely, knows these participants, these combatants very well, and he joins us right now. So for those that are just tuning in to this story, give us sort of the chronological events, going back to even, you know, how Fisher's recruiting class came together, how Saban's recruiting class came together, and where we are today.
Yeah, Texas A&M's recruiting class coming off, I believe, a 8-4 season, 9-4 season, arguably the greatest signing class in the history of college football. 7 ESPN 300 signees, Walter Nolan, the number one player in the country, a defensive tackle out of Tennessee, another defensive tackle out of Florida who was the number 3 player in the country, a defensive end out of Georgia, the number 6 player in the country, a kid out of Florida, number 7, and a couple of wide receivers out of Texas. But, you know, Jimbo's always recruited well. He recruited well at Florida State. He's recruited well at Texas A&M, but as soon as NIL was legalized, I think the Aggies took it to a completely new level, and I don't think you can say that they're cheating because they're doing it within the parameters of the NIL rules, as far as we know. And I guess it was Wednesday night in Birmingham. Coach Saban was talking at a World Games press conference or introduction or something, and he, for whatever reason, said that Texas A&M bought their entire team and Alabama's class was number 2, and he wasn't sure that Alabama could sustain it under the current climate. So it seemed to me that Saban was trying to rally the Alabama boosters and troops to give more money. And he has apologized for singling out Texas A&M and Deion Sanders at Jackson State. But, you know, I was told people tried to talk Jimbo out of the press conference yesterday morning, and he did it anyway.
Well, didn't Saban try to call him and he wouldn't take his call?
Yeah, yeah. Jimbo said that. Said he called and tried to apologize, but he's done with him.
So, Mark, what is the deal? Like, so if true that Saban's trying to rally his booster group to provide, you know, more of a budget, an NIL budget, is there a big difference? Was there a big difference in what Texas A&M spent, or what kind of NIL money was extracted by its recruiting class versus Alabama's? Does anybody track that?
It's very, very difficult. Unfortunately, a lot of it is not subject to open records laws because schools have said that their educational records, I'm sure that argument is going to end up in court at someday, but there's not a lot of transparency. And it goes back to what you and I have talked about many times, that the NCAA is completely powerless in all of this. They got caught not prepared last summer when states were passing NIL laws. And they basically said, do whatever you want under your state laws, and every state had different laws. And now it's the wild, wild west. I mean, people have said it. It's NFL free agency without any rules and without a salary cap. I mean, this is not what NIL was meant to be. And I just don't know how you can get it under control.
All right, well, we'll circle back to the Fisher-Saban stuff and what Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, said yesterday and what that sets up for the future. But I want to stick with this NIL conversation. You know, essentially, NIL, name, image, and likeness, gave players the opportunity to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. They're making money. But is it because of services rendered with their name, image, and likeness, or are boosters just outright paying them? How is this working? I know it's different everywhere, but what is your sense of how it's working right now in a lot of places?
It was meant to be. It was meant to give student athletes an opportunity to make some money, but it was supposed to be a quid pro quo where we're going to pay you, and you're going to actually show up and do things, whether it's autograph signing sessions, endorsing products, you know, some collective set it up to where the kids would be doing community service in exchange for money. It was never supposed to be a recruiting inducement, which is what it's become in many cases. I don't think it was ever intended that a high school quarterback would get $8 million over 4 years at one SEC school. It has become a recruiting inducement. People are paying kids to come to schools where they probably otherwise wouldn't have gone. And that's against the NCAA rules. And the NCAA came out last week, I guess, with some guidance and parameters that said, you know, boosters can't be involved in recruiting. You can't provide benefits to a kid to entice them to come to your school, and you know they're not going to retroactively go back and punish programs because enforcement's a joke right now. But we'll see where it goes.
It is legal for, let's just say, a booster who owns a retail restaurant chain to offer a player money to show up at a jersey signing ceremony or to be the face of its ad campaign. That is legal versus just offering that player, you know, $1 million if he ends up playing for the university that particular person boosts.
Correct. I mean, I think the initial vision was a car dealer in Tuscaloosa or Oxford, Mississippi or wherever would give a kid $25,000-$50,000 to show up on Saturdays at his dealership and meet with fans and take photographs and sign autographs. And it's actually services rendered for payment.
Right.
In this case, I think kids are just getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, to sign with a school. The schools aren't supposed to be involved with the collectives. The collectives aren't supposed to be involved in recruiting, but I think you and I are smart enough to know that's exactly what's happening.
By the way, you mentioned something, and I don't think most people listening are familiar with it, but talk about the five-star quarterback that, you know, reportedly, according to The Athletic, is going to get $8 million for his name, image, and likeness.
Oh, what is that? His name escapes me now. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, Nicholas Amaliva, I believe is how you pronounce it.
From California? Is he a California kid?
Yeah, Long Beach, California. Committed to Tennessee. A lot of surprise that he was headed to Tennessee. Don't know. You know, there was an Athletic report that he was getting $8 million over 2 years. It was an unidentified quarterback out of California, but everybody seems to think he's the one.
The other part of NIL is that some schools are doing it well. And when I say well, meaning they're able to put together a budget to attract really good players, whether they're doing it for their name, image, and likeness, or whether they're just outright paying them. And other schools haven't. Is that just a result of the enthusiasm and the wealth of the boosters for each program? Like, I talked about Jordan Addison here leaving from Pitt to go to play for Lincoln Riley and be thrown the football by Caleb Williams at USC. You know, and there's he's going to get a reported $2 million in NIL money. Is it just that USC's got much bigger boosters, or is it more than that?
I think it was ahead of the game. I think wealth has got a big part of it. I think that's part of Saban's concern. You know, they don't have a ton of big companies in Alabama. It's not the wealthiest fan base in the country. You know, as long as the price of a barrel of oil is $108, it's going to be really difficult to compete with Texas and Texas A&M.
Right.
When it comes to NIL money. But for whatever reason, you know, I don't think Georgia was playing catch up. Bama's playing catch up. I don't think some schools realized how much of a factor this was going to be in recruiting. And Texas A&M and Texas and some other places really seemed to have a plan in place far earlier than other people. And it paid dividends in this last recruiting cycle and will in the next one.
What do you think? The NCAA obviously is feckless and powerless in so many of these situations, but the conferences aren't necessarily. What do you think is going to happen here? Where is this headed?
I think we're going to have a complete breakaway of Power Five from the NCAA when it comes to football. I think the NCAA will still run the basketball tournaments and other championships and sports, but I think the Power Five could break away from the Group of Five, and I think each league is going to set up its own rules in terms of NIL and scholarship numbers and everything else. And I think that's the way it has to be, because like you said, I mean, we've been waiting 5 years for some punishment and decisions on these basketball cases from the FBI investigation. And that went down in 2017. And here we are 5 years later with nothing. So,
well, Will Wade, they finally got rid of Will Wade at LSU. I mean, that seemed like it was a no-brainer from day one when he was caught on the wiretap. But it took a while.
And I mean, there wasn't much punishment. I mean, other than Will Wade losing his job. I mean, Bill Self's got a lifetime contract.
Right.
Bruce Pearl's essentially got a lifetime contract. But, you know, it's going to be up to Greg Sankey and Kevin Warren at the Big Ten to decide how they want to handle this. And Sankey's not happy with what went down over the last 48 hours, because Mike Slive did a really, really good job of keeping these guys in line and not attacking each other. And at one point, all the SEC teams were actually off probation, which was the first time in like a century. But I know Greg Sankey can't be happy.
We're talking to Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. One other quick question, follow-up to that. So if there was a breakaway, which has been discussed many times, and you and I have talked about it before, would the Power Five be together in this breakaway? Would there be a commissioner, if you will, of college football's Power Five at that point, with maybe, you know, a playoff format set up? I mean, how do you envision the sport working if the Power Five were to break away from the NCAA?
I think it would be under the umbrella of the college football playoff. I think you would have to have an executive in charge. I think it would have to be similar to Roger Goodell in the NFL, you know, whether it's Oliver Luck or someone like that in charge. I just know that these schools that have invested millions and millions in their football programs want the ability to make their own rules and to react quickly to changes. And that's part of the problem here is that the NCAA fought amateurism for so long that, you know, it's taken them forever to react to anything. God, I saw a figure earlier this week that the NCAA had spent $360 million over 7 years on legal fees, or over 5 years. It was incredible. And lost every case, pretty much.
I mean, that's get it together and keep the lawyers out of it. We're talking to Mark Schlabaugh. All right, let's get back to Saban versus Fisher. Veteran assistant coach told ESPN, these entire shenanigans, quote, emphasize how impotent the NCAA is and has been. It's like two cartels pointing their fingers at each other, close quote. So will there be any punishment or any fallout for the Saban and Fisher, you know, verbal spat and behavior?
I mean, the SEC issued public reprimands to both of them, but yeah, it doesn't mean anything. No, I don't think, you know, I don't think the NCAA is going to pick up the phone and ask Fisher what's been going on at Alabama. I don't think the NCAA is going to pick up the phone and ask Saban what's going on at Texas A&M. I think we're beyond that. You know, it'll be really interesting. I think they've got SEC meetings in Destin, Florida at the end of the month. I'd love to be a fly on the wall there. But, no, a lot of coaches were amused yesterday and eating the popcorn by watching that go down. It's just, I mean, it was Jimbo's Fisher's press conference, as silly as it was some of the most entertaining video in college football history, for sure.
It is, and I would ask you, how many of the coaches out there, as Fisher was essentially referring to Nick Saban as a narcissist, as thinking he's God, as we know, you know, who he is and what he's been, you know, really, you know, calling him despicable multiple times. I'm curious as to what the rest of the college football coaching community thinks. Were they cheering him on, saying finally somebody's saying it, or not? Like, what is the general feeling about Nick Saban in college football?
You know, I think people have taken exception to him saying there's always been parity in college football because he's always had more and better players than anyone else, which is the reason he's won more national championships than anyone else. I mean, he's a great coach. He's probably one of the top three coaches of all time, but, you know, he's always had a better toolbox than everyone else. You know, it was funny to me to sit there and listen to Jimbo say, ask people who have worked for him. They know how it works. Well, Jimbo worked for him.
Right.
I mean, that's the ironic thing of it. But it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I said last night, whatever Vegas has got on Bama right now on October 8th, I'm pretty sure I would take it.
Yeah, they play October 8th, I think, in Tuscaloosa, right?
Yeah. Look, Jimbo, 2 years from now, his defensive line is going to look like the one Georgia had this past season based on his recruiting the last couple of years. But, you know, I think he's only had one season at A&M where he hasn't lost at least four games. So he's got to back up the talk here the next couple of years.
Well, yeah, it's such a good point. I mean, he got there. He left. I mean, he went, you know, he took the money in A&M, as you mentioned, you know, in the Texas schools in general, because of oil and gas, there is so much money in those programs for football in particular. And, you know, he, other than the shortened pandemic year, you know, he's lost four or five games each year. And now they're loaded this year. I mean, I think I've seen mostly preseason top fives and top eights somewhere in that neighborhood. But Bama's coming back as the preseason national championship favorite, aren't they? With
Bryce Young and the Will Anderson, the best defensive player in the country. They've got some issues on the offensive line. They've got to address it. They weren't very good up front last year. But, you know, A&M, everybody made a big deal about Georgia's 41-year drought without a national championship last year until they won it. Texas A&M hadn't won one in 83 years.
and they're in Texas. So, you know, it hasn't been the standard of excellence there. So we'll see. But that school, somebody told me that 97% of their alumni are still living. And so they've got a ton of people and a ton of people dumping into these collectives. And Ross Bjork, their AD, yesterday said, "You won't believe how much Nick Saban's comments have galvanized our alumni and fan base." So they're going to apparently have even more money in the coffers.
Well, you know what? By extension, it puts a lot of pressure on Jimbo Fisher to win a national championship here in the next few years.
And that $100 million contract does as well.
Yeah, that should have been enough pressure to begin with. But to your point, I mean, he's lost 4 or 5 games in every full season he's been there. He hasn't won the SEC West. He hasn't been in a playoff yet. He hasn't really been close to either one yet. So he's going to have to produce here. You know, I think Jimbo Fisher is a hell of a coach. I think Nick Saban, if he actually ended up having less talent than other teams in the SEC West, would still do well. He's that good of a coach.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's, you know, he's got the program in place. He's lost 4 or 5 assistant coaches every year and 6 or 7 NFL draft picks every year and simply reloaded. I will say this. I had another SEC coach tell me yesterday, this is like the first time ever where Saban wasn't ahead of the game in a dramatic change in college football, and he's just absolutely beside himself.
Last question for Mark Schlabaugh, just about next season and NIL. Is there a team other than the high-profile teams, is there a school that's kind of doing this really well that has never been on the radar but is about to become a prominent program because they've been ahead of it as far as NIL, transfer portal, et cetera? If you don't have an answer to it, that's fine. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee hasn't done anything since Philip Fulmer was there in the 90s.
Right.
Has really, really struggled. They have a couple collectives in place, and we talked about the quarterback. I think they've got a chance to really upgrade their talent. Now, they're going to get hammered by the NCAA for what happened under Jeremy Pruitt at some point, but Tennessee's the one. I'll tell you, after Jordan Addison committed to USC yesterday, I moved USC from 12 to 4 in my top 25.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to stop anybody on defense, but they're going to have 4 people.
You've used this term a couple of times, collectives. I don't know what that means as it relates to NIL. What does it mean?
It's basically a group of alumni who get together and invest money into this collective. And I've talked to people associated with collectives at all kinds of Power 5 schools, and they just pull their money and sign these kids to NIL deals. And, you know, a couple I've talked to, they seem to be on the straight and narrow. Said, look, you know, we're giving kids NIL monies. We're going into this believing we're going to make money off these NIL deals. You know, everybody in this company is going to pay taxes. The kid's going to get a 1099. This is a legitimate business model to make money. And, you know, that's basically, I'd say 97% of the NIL deals out there right now are being done through these collectives. Very few big corporations do NIL deals with players, and most of them are being done through these collectives.
Got it. Thank you, as always. I really appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Mark Schlabaugh, everybody. Fascinating time in college sports. And, yeah, I mean, for those of you that are big college sports fans, football or basketball fans, the revenue generating sports, you know, you want your school to be really good at this right now. If not, you're going to lose players and you're not going to get players, even if you in the past have had kind of a better setup program wise to win. I wonder, the only question I didn't ask him, Brendan, and I had it on my list, I wonder how Brian Kelly's doing at LSU, you know, at that much bigger and better program than the one that he's been at Notre Dame. Because in these smaller places, now Baton Rouge and being within arm's length of New Orleans isn't the same as being out in the middle of nowhere in Tuscaloosa. But I'm curious as to some of how these small town, you know, out of Texas SEC schools are doing with NIL. I thought he made a good point about, you know, not necessarily massive money boosters at Alabama, even though they've got clearly a phenomenal fan base. All right, up next, Steve Sands will join us live from Southern Hills in Tulsa. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show and the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.